Fantastic. Okay, Rabbi Shai, Geshmak Esugya beckons. Yesterday we had a chance to together lay out the Shach V'Tarya. As I mentioned this morning, you look at the Shach V'Tarya here on two levels, on the micro level and on the macro level. It's easy to get lost in the micro level, in the trees, and miss the macro level, the forest. The Rishonim here are bringing us back to the macro level. The macro, the details, the micro level is trying to figure out like the difference between the 8 letters and the 9 letters and the 10 letters and so on and so forth. And there's more of the micro level on Gimel Mabez also. So figuring out the Gemara gets involved in. We said that for the purpose of Lashon Nikia, we would avoid speaking about Rechiva Beisha. And so the Gemara, all those kashas, how about this pasuk, how about that pasuk? We have a terrace for this, a terrace for that. That's the micro level. On the macro level, if you zoom out and you see the bigger picture, so the bigger picture was. Tani Didan, what's Pshat and Or? Why doesn't the Tani use Laila? As the Ron stressed, and the Meiri stressed, you're losing clarity by using the word Or. So the answer is, well, there's a Sugi of Lishna Malia. There's a din of Davra, avoiding Davra Maguna. There's a din of Lashon Nikia, Rishua ben Levi, then Tani Dvei Bishmal, and the Gerard Akasha. He said, Lashon Maguna, avoiding Davar Maguna, that's why the Torah avoids the word Tamin. Lashon Nikia, that's why the Torah avoids Nerkav B'isha. For Akta Gemara, really, we never, on Gimel Beis, we never say Tamin. The Chumash is full of the word Tamin. Who looked, anyone looked at the concordance? He says 150 times. Right? That's what Aaron said. They look at a concordance, 150 times. Shkoyach. We found 3 times we avoid, in all of Tanakh, 3 times we avoid the word Tameh, and in Tanakh or Chumash alone. Chumash alone, 150 times you have the word Tameh. So the Gemara says, whoa, what is this? What is this? It's slightly more than 1% of the time that we leave it out. Almost 99% of the time we have it. So what type of raya is that? The Gemara said, oh, Ella, we care about Lashon Kavod, but we care about Lashon Katzar more. If it's Kiyadadi, if the two options are equally short, so then we'll choose the one which is covered. But if the non-covered option is shorter, so brevity, shortness, kitzur, takes precedence over covered. So that was sort of the big picture of the Gemara. The Kasha about Or and our Mishnah, Teretz, well, there's a Sugi Lishna Malia, Davar Maguna, with the word Tameh, Lashon Nikia with the word Merkav, the Kasha, but it's not true, but we do have Tamei Baraisa. Oh, the answer is, Kavod is important, but the Katzar is more, higher priority. Yeah. Oh, good. Let's lay it out. Very good. We're going to dive into Rishon in a moment. So that's the Gemara. So, as I said before, there are a number of questions. Bechal, the whole sugya is sort of like, once you zoom out, it sort of has a funny feel. Bechal, it's not clear when the Gemara says the Teretz Ta'or and our Mishnah is Lishna Maya, then the Gemara sort of just quotes Rishon ben Levi, quotes Rishon ben Shmuel. It's not clear what the relationship is between Rishon ben Levi and Shmuel. It's the same, it's different. It's a little hard to understand the flow at the very bottom of the last, let's say, 7-8 lines of Gimel Medalev. And then more specifically, two sharp questions. Number one is Kasha Seifa Lareisha. That the Gemara says on Gemara Beis, well, we said Gemara Alf was very nice, but there is Tamei Baraisa, 150 times Chumash. The answer was, no, Ella, Kavod is important, but Katzar is more important. It's Mamash against Rishon ben Levi. Rishon ben Levi's whole point was Ike Makasov. The Torah does detour in order to avoid the word Tamei. So the Gemara is given a Teretz. Originally, Rishon ben Levi was, it seems as though he was ignoring 99% of the time. He'd look at these 2-3 times when we leave out the word Tamei. But now in the Gemara's Teretz, it looks like we're ignoring the 1%. Say, usually we have the word Tamei because Katzar is more important then covered. So what's Sakab Shat in the Ikem HaKasav, those by Noach, and Asher Lo Yetahar, so what's Sakab Shat? So that's one major kasha. The other major kasha is going back to the very beginning of the Gemara. It's not clear what the answer to the kasha was. The opening kasha that got this all going, that how come it says R doesn't say Laila? So is R Maguna? Sorry. Is Laila Maguna? Is Laila not Bakavitik? Not Bakavitik say night? I understand Tamai. I understand Rechiva Beisha. There's something unrefined about it. Something unrefined. What's unrefined about night? Is it unrefined to say mountain? Is it unrefined to say antelope? Like, what's wrong with night?
Why can't you say that
word is katzer? R is katzer. Oh, okay, that's interesting. R is katzer. So that would be interesting. There are two problems, though. Number one, that's not what we said. And number two, it might not be katzer.
And
even voice culture,
it's
the opposite of Lyle. You're not supposed to change what you're saying. Okay, good. Well, how is it
katzer? It's not
closer. You have three letters. What does that mean? How is katzer?
It's three letters
and letters
four.
Oh, but, okay. But I could have said lel.
It could have taken out the
yud. I could have said lel. But also, leaving that, let's say I wouldn't want to say lele. Well, what language did he use? He used... Leilei Arbas. Okay, so he used Leilei Arbas. Could you have said Leil instead of Arve Psachim versus Arab Psachim? Okay, so we can handle, could we have said Leil instead of Leilei? So maybe it would be. But then the other problem is, let's say you're right. Let's say you're right, the R is Katzer. Let's say you're right, the R is Katzer. But here's the problem. It's such a good teretz, but the Gemara didn't say it. Because the Gemara, that is, at the end of the Sugya, the Gemara is going to mention Katzer. What the Gemara says right now is Lishna Malia. Lishna Malia meaning more proper speech. So I think you part of what you're doing is you're sort of hitting the Gemara's the same kasha ratio, the same filaration, sort of from a different angle. The Gemara talk is going to raise katzer, but right now it's not.
Really, I did that because you ordered the question.
Oh, okay, good. So Bechlal, the Shach Vatari has like a little bit of like a funny feel, like where we feel like we're not so rooted, like it's hard to know, hard to fully make sense of the flow of Shach V'Tara, and specifically, two kashas. Kasha Seifel Ereisha, in other words, once we say that Katzer takes presence of a Kavod, what are you going to do with the Tameis that Taka are, Rabbi Shubin Levi's three cases? And number two, what was the answer to the opening Kasha of R? Yes. Is there any benefit to Lashon Kitzara? Why do we want to be shorter? That's a good question. Some Rishonim say it specifically in the context of learning. That when you teach, so the Talmidim are more likely to, if you give a 3-hour shiur, so it's going to be harder for guys to be kolei.
So we assume when it says Lashon Kitzara, the point is to make it easier to understand?
Most probably.
Is it easier to understand or shorter that you can memorize
it? Maybe. I'm not sure. But the quality of the learning, whether it's whether it's focus or memorization or understanding, the quality of the learning.
You say with or, it might be one that are shorter since it's so much more.
Okay, good. You say Lamda Shivar. The whole value of the Kitzur is it increases the quality of the learning. But if that's the case, then being longer for greater clarity is definitely it's the same issue. It's the same issue. Good. Okay. So let's think about it. So the Rishonim do, as you saw, the Rishonim do deal with both questions. Let's begin with the first major question of Kashya Seifa Lareisha. So what's Takapshat? How come, if it's really true that speaking briefly takes precedence over Kavod, so then why did the Torah a few times, three times, give presence to Kavod over Kotzer. How come in Parshas Noach it says Habema Sharinena Tahora? What were the other two psukim? And how come Yichiyibecha Ish Asher Lo Yiyah Tahor? Why didn't say Yichiyibe Ish Tamei? And the pasuk in Sefer Shmuel with the Shaul HaMelech, Mikra Bilti Tahor Kilat. Don't just say Mikra Tamei. Why were those? If the rule taka is that Kavod is important, but Kotzer is more important, so then no. So then what's taka pshat? And we should believe these three cases. So there are a couple of approaches. Some that break down to sub approaches. So the first approach is that of Rashi. The first approach is that of Rashi. Rashi talks about this kasha. Where does Rashi talk about this kasha? Right here, right where you expect. Give them a base. And the Gemara says, Ella, take a look. Rashi, give them a base, third line. Chol Heicha. The Gemara says, the rule is, really, we never say Tameh. The Gemara says, no, Chol Heicha, Dikhi Adadi, Mishtai, Lash Nikia. If it's the same length, then we'll use Lashon Nakiv. If it's shorter, then we won't. And then Rashi right away jumps. Rashi is bothered by this kasha. I have a hani del el. How about the cases earlier? E came. The Torah was ma'akeh. The Torah did go. And clearly he's referring to the hani del el a little bit loose, or a lot of cases, but obviously he's referring to Rishub and Levi and the two other psukim that relate to Rishub and Levi. So he says, Rashi, Lila medicha, shetzarech lechazer achar lashon naki. That's to teach you that you have to go out of your way to seek out lashon naki. Uvishar mekamos, kasiv lashon meguna, vikatzer. Elsewhere, the Torah has not bakavadik, meguna, but short. Lila medicha, shishana adam letalmido, der lashon kitzara. To teach you that in general, you should teach the talmidim in a briefer format. Why? And here's your point. Lafishim is kayemes girsa shela yosef and haruka. That learning, that girsa, will last more than a longer version. Now, I don't know whether it's to Aaron's point that maybe he means in terms of retention and memory, or maybe he means you'll understand it better, so you'll retain more, whatever it is, but the generally you want, what's Rashi saying? What's Rashi saying? What was his answer?
He doesn't avoid the question.
So what was his answer? Right? He doesn't answer directly, but I think he is answering. What he's saying is, I believe, is as follows. That generally the rule is Lashon Kitzara. But both, right? The Gemara said both are rules. There's value to Kitzara and there's value to Kavod. It's just that when they're in conflict, so Kitzara wins. But again, when they're not in conflict, Kavod is a value. When there is no Kitzara issue, when they're Kiha Dadi, when they're the same length, so then we do insist uncovered. So says Rashi, the Torah wants to teach me, model for me, both rules. So generally, Kitzara wins over Kavod. So that's why, as Aaron counted in the concordance, 150 times the Torah does say Tameh instead of Natar, because that's the rule. Kitzara wins over Kavod. Not Tahar is more bakavadik, but Tameh is obviously shorter. So that's the rule. But then Rashi says, we had a handful of cases where the Torah did was longer. Why? That was lilamedcha shetzarech lechazer achalashen naki. That was to teach me that there is value to lashen naki. Now, halacha lamaisa, Rashi says, that's generally only relevant in a case when the kihadadi. But again, in the case where it's kihadadi, when kotzer is not an issue, there is a need for lashon naki. So the Torah went out of its way, and Tosfos explains a little more. What? But why are we breaking the rules? Take a look at the top Tosfos. Let's take a look. Lekach, take a look at the top Tosfos, Rabbi Yossi. Kohecha. Lekach ikim akasuv. This is why the Torah did go out of its way, did take a detour, was more verbose, was more roundabout in those two, three cases earlier. I keep saying two, three, because they're three, but two of them are in Chumash. So if we compare it to 150, two in Chumash are Ma'ukam versus 150, which are not Ma'ukam. And you have the third case also, which is from Sefer Shmuel. Lakach ikim, says Tosfos, Lakach ikim akasa v'lamadeinu. The Torah, in those few cases, the Chumash did go out and say, what? To teach you. That you should always insist on Lashon Naki, except As he said, except when it's a stira to the katzah. Im lo haya okim im kein neheicha teisi afil heicha tchia dadininu. Because if you wouldn't have gone out of your way, here Tosfos is very, very subtly answering Akasha. He says, if we wouldn't have been roundabout, if we would not have been marich in those two, three cases, then meheicha teisi afil heicha tchia dadininu. And how do I ever know that even when they're even, I should insist on covered? In other words, what's Tosfos saying? It's very brief. But he's saying Akash and Teres. And he's being Yashir Rashi, yeah?
And that really, Kitzara wins, but we need to teach these two cases to say that in the case of a tie, we go.
Bingo, because if we never would have seen this, so you would just see cases where it's a tie and you see the Lashanaki, I wouldn't know that that's anything of significance. Okay, so Torah happens to use this word. It could have used either word. To use the kabbalistic word. Mehechetesi, that's an insistence. Very good. The Tosfos is explaining that really the rule is katzar number one, kavod number two. But two or three times, the Chumash, the Tanakh, went, broke that rule to demonstrate naki is a value. Kavod is a value. Just so, and to demonstrate it's actually a value, we had a few cases, asher einana tzahora. We made a point of it against the normal rules of prioritizing katzar in order to stress kavod is a value. Typically, only chaps nafkamina b'chi hadadininu. But in order to teach that, we had to, a few times, demonstrate in a roundabout way. So that's Rashi and Tosfos.
Why do you need more than one?
Why two? I don't know. That's interesting. Why two? Why two? Why three? I'm not sure. That's an interesting kasha. Chaim's asking interesting kasha. If it's l'kachi k'makasav, if these psukim are really breaking the rule, so why do we have to break the rule more than once? I don't know. Yeah?
Wouldn't these cases of going out of the way, wouldn't it lead one to erroneously think that really we should be elongating and that Sarah isn't a value?
Okay. So Shua asked, one second, this could be too much of a good thing. Once we have, how do I know? Shua is saying, how do I know not to make the error of thinking that the Rishub and Levi cases are not the exception but the rule? Maybe you see from there that Kavod does take precedence over Naki. It is what we thought. Right, so the answer is exactly what the Gemara said, but it's very nice you have the two or three psukim, the 150 other psukim, where we just say Tommy, 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 Tommy. So clearly, the overwhelming preponderance of the evidence, 99 to 1, is that kavod wins, katzar wins over kavod. But if there's one or two exceptional cases, the point that you should know, kavod does matter. So we have these extreme ways of presenting it by Noach and later, and that teaches me kavod is a value. Clear from the course of Chumash that kavod loses to katzar, but when there's no katzar, when the two options are equally brief, so then you should insist on kavod. That's Rashi and Tosfos. Again, this is the first approach, and they understand that Taka, the psukim that Yeshua Levi mentioned, are really exceptions to the rule. They're really breaking the rule. But from there, where the Torah is ma'akim, in other words, they would read Yeshua Levi as saying, you shouldn't be motzi adavra meguna mipiv if there's something else that's just as brief. That's always the rule. Because after all, there's one case Yeshua Levi said, and then the other Amram found other two cases. The Torah actually was ma'akim, it was even ma'arich. The teaching is that in general, I don't have to be ma'arich in order to be mechubadik, but at least when it's all the same length, I should insist on the kavod. Yeah? What's your... Why not? Why not? Why not? Tosfos is a kushya samuya. Tosfos doesn't speak at his kasha, but the kasha that I think he's putting the pieces of Rashi together. Rashi gives you two pieces, and Tosfos shows you how to put them together. Because Rashi says, well, these three psukim teach me that lashon naki is important, and those 150 psukim of Tameh teach me that katzar is important. So the question is, well, he doesn't address it, one second, but But those three psukim are breaking the rule. So it doesn't fully. That's what I think Chaim's point of divorce. It doesn't fully answer the question. But I don't think Tosis is arguing with Rashi. I think Tosis is explaining. Again, Tosis himself is being very subtle. But he doesn't talk it out. But I think if you look at Tosis carefully, I think that's what Tosis is doing. He's explaining to you. He never mentioned Rashi. He never said Vim Toma. But he's really talking about Rashi, and he's asking a question, and he's giving it a terrace. How do you understand Rashi? It's very nice. Each one is telling me a value, but we have a hierarchy of the values, and the Rishul Lady Psukim are in violation. He says, no, that's the whole point. Exactly. It's the exception. This is mamish, as the expression goes. Literally, the exception that proves the rule. That proves the other. The exception to rule one, which proves rule two. Rule one is that Kutzer wins over Kavod. But a few times the Tanakh broke that rule to teach you that there is also rule two of Kavod, which is relevant when there is no Kutzer. So that I believe that Tosis is adding to Rashi. I don't think he's disagreeing. I think that's, once you see Tosis, I think that's Taka Pshat Rashi. Even from language Rashi alone, it sounds like that, but he definitely doesn't speak it out. Tosis speaks it out a little more. Again, that's the first approach. So how to make sense of the sugya, how to make sense of the Ella? The answer is, and it's a straightforward Ella. Right? Ella, as you know, means we're rejecting what we said before. Right? So yeah, that's what we're doing. We originally thought that we always have to insist on Kavod and so on and so on, but no. Ella, Yataka don't, and Taka, to re-understand all those psukim we quoted before, those were the psukim we showed, the psukim of not Tahar, the three cases where the Tanakh avoids Tame, those were really exceptions to prove the other rule. That's the approach of Rashi and Tosis. Yeah.
So I think Rashi didn't have the other commentaries in Genesis necessarily, but like they still have the Psukim. So it seems that if one said the Psukim, the ones that say Tame are the ones where it's critical to know Tame and not to play games to teach us straight out of the law. So it's true that we have three, which maybe that they're teaching a law, but the question of why are we using three and not one? Why are we using three and not two? So that's exactly why, because we're not saying we're going to use three Psukim as like a hint, like, oh, they'll chaf from these things. No, it's because here's the general rule. You need to teach something strict, or we need to really apply, so you can't let people risk messing up, so we'll say Tame, but other times, so that's why there's three, because three times the commission showed up that if we didn't say the word Tame, instead of saying the word Tame, we could get away with saying something nice. That's why, that would explain why there's three Psukim given in the first and not one. That would explain why we're not concerned someone's going to have an alternate
understanding. Let's hold on to the Kavir and David. Good, let's hold on to that. Let's hold on to that. The idea we get to Rav David. Very good. Now, but as you point out, most Rishonim disagree with Rashi and Tosis. And most Rishonim, here are a few things that Rashi and Tosis did not do. Here are three features of Rashi and Tosis that other Rishonim will disagree with. Number one, for Rashi and Tosis, the Ella is a normal Ella. We said something before, we're backing up. Number two, Rashi and Tosis have not differentiated between different types Rashi and Tosis have not introduced different levels of Lishna Malia. Rashi and Tosis have not introduced different madregas of how inappropriate is your speech. Rashi and Tosis seem to be grouping all together. Naki Maguna, Eino Naki Maguna, Eino Kavod. It seems that from Rashi Tosis, it sounds like it's all synonymous. And number three, Rashi and Tosfos believe that the psukim of the Rishu Ben Levi quoted are really break the rule. They're really exceptions, but they're exceptions. In Taka, normally you should have said Tabe there also, but the Torah did it instructively. The Torah dafta there, did it a roundabout way, against the normal rules, to tell you there is an idea of Kavod. Those are three features of Rashi and Tosis, that Ella is a real full Chazar, the way Ella normally is, that there's no differentiation of different levels of not the Kavodic, and that Rishu Ben Levi is an exception. Taka is breaking the normal rules. There was breaking the normal rules in order to teach us something. The other Rishonim do not seem to work with that. The Baal HaMa'or, the Meiri, Rabbeinu Yonah, Rabbeinu David, a little bit different, but also all seem to disagree with all of these things. And again, maybe the Baal HaMa'or is probably a good place to start historically and in the way everything develops. Let's take a look at the Baal HaMa'or. To learn a Baal HaMa'or. Wow. The Baal HaMa'or says, Sugya Deshmaita. The opening Baal HaMa'or is fascinating. The opening Baal HaMa'or in Pesachim is not about Chametz. Oh, the Baal HaMa'or is about Lishna Malia. So Shema Tomar, the God, is not, you know, some might make an error of thinking somehow, going back to Hakdamah Seel Sharm, like, Musar, there's no Ian in Musar. The first Baal HaMa'or, to learn a Baal HaMa'or, the first Baal HaMa'or in Pesachim is here, which also highlights what we had mentioned the other day, that perhaps this is, there's a reason why the Gemara spends so much time in defining R. It gave us the opportunity to be introduced to the wonders of Kachem and Taurus, among other things. But from a larger perspective, perhaps it's to highlight, this is the L'maisa of the Sugya. Lishna Malia, that's the way the Mishnah, not only the way, as the Bamar is going to say, the way the Mishnah opens, that's the way the Gemara opens. The Gemara opens with a focus on beautiful, delicate, elevated speech. Let's take a look. Sugya Deshmaita. Bamar gets going right away. Sugya Deshmaita, the way the Shemua, the way the Sugya, literally Sugya means to walk, or the walking. So Sugya Deshmaita, we use the word Sugya for the way that Amoram used the word Shmaita, more or less. The Shmua, Shmaita Shmua, either a single member or a discussion. So Sugya Deshmaita is the way that the Sugya walks. The way that the Shmaita works, the way it plays out, the Shaka Vitaria, the way it unfolds, is what? In other words, Sugi de Shmaita mean Maskana de Milsa. What's the, when the dust settles, what's the Maskana? And by the way, it's fascinating. The Rif quotes this. The Rif didn't skip Lashon HaMa'or. It's right here. He says, Army, he skips the whole first block. It was Armin. Armin's Lila. Aye, Tanya Don. So why do we say it? Lishna Melia. He quotes Yeshua and Levi. He quotes Rabbi Shmuel. Fascinatingly, the Rif does not quote the issue with Katzar. Interesting. Okay. So the Baal HaMa'or is something to think about. But let's get to the Baal HaMa'or. Sugi d'shmaita kol heichaduch yadadi ninu mishtoi b'lashin kavod. When they're the same length, then you speak in the language of kavod. But if one is longer than the other, so then shavik is Aramaic for ozev. You would abandon, you let go, lahu de nafish, you let go of the one which is longer, the nakit, you'll grab derech katzer. Here, the Baal HaMa'or now begins to add something that we haven't seen. Ubilvach lo yehei davar mit lashon meguna. As long as it's not lashon meguna, really, what does that mean? I thought we just said Lashon Meguna. But the Baal HaMa'or just said, and he's going to say it a little bit more later on, or maybe David and Miru will say this more explicitly. What he's saying is that there are different madrigas of inappropriate speech. There's one madriga of it's not Dakavadik. There's another madriga of it's Meguna. It's coarse. That's worse. If it's just a question of Kavad, it's not Dakavadik, so that. It's better to be highly respectful and dignified. You could be a little undignified in order to be more direct and briefer. But if it's a question of being coarse, of being meguna, you can't endeavor meguna even to save time. And that's why Rishu ben Levi said, Ikem Hakasif. Right? Now, he already solved the problem very smoothly, that Rishu ben Levi is not breaking the rule, that's the rule. If it's meguna is terrible. You don't say Meguna even in order to save time. If it's just a question of e kavod, then Bakavadik, that already, you know, it's a value to be a kavodik, but that's not a greatest value as katzer. But avoiding Meguna, that is. Now, but then of course he has to deal with the problem. One second. But the Gemara's whole point was we raised Tameh. Yeshua Malevi says we don't say Tameh. We do say Tameh 150 times. So what's the Baal HaMa'or? Kasha Sefer LaReisha. So he says, "V'tami dekasa baraisa in eroloshem meguna." When the Torah says, "Tame," that's not the 150 times in Chumash. The Torah does say, "Tame." This animal is tame, and this dead sheretz is tame, and use tame sometimes to mean non-kosher species, sometimes mean in the sense of tumah v'tara, and the mitzora is tame, and so on and so forth throughout the Chumash. He says, that's not meguna. That's not meguna. Fascinating. So the Ella, Rabbi say, the Ella was, you thought, it's not a full chazara. It's not a full chazara rejecting what we basically said before. No. The Ella is just saying it's a redefinition or a recategorization of the term tummy. From Yeshua ben Levi, we got the impression that Tameh is Meguna. And that's why we should avoid the word Tameh, even if you have to be Ma'akim, because it's Meguna. And then the Gemara says, really? 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 How about the 150 times it does say Tameh? So it says, what does the Gemara say? Ella? Ella? It's the difference between kavod and kat. It's the thing about kavod and katzar. So Yeshua Levi says, when the Gemara said that, take a look back at the Gemara for a moment. But the Baal Hamor, excuse me, the Baal Hamor. Hamor is mamish. Every word here is golden. Every word is every phrase is another whole idea. Ella kalhechet v'chayadai ni mishtai b'lashen nekiya. Kalhechet nefish mili mishtai b'lashen katzara. So what did he just do? Says the Baal Hamor, then Ella just recategorized, said, Tameh isn't Meguna. Tameh is just a question of a lack of Naki. What the Gemara a few lines later calls a lack of Kavod. So what the Gemara just did, according to Baal Hamor, is it said, we already told you before there are two categories, if you were paying attention. Yeshua ben Levi spoke about Meguna. Don't let a word of Meguna leave your lips. Then Tanya Yishmael said it's important to speak Lashon Naki. So the Baal Hamor says those are two different categories. We thought that Tame was a Meguna, but it's not. It's just Lashon Naki, which is also important, but Lashon Naki takes a back seat to Katzer. Now, of course, the problem is what do you mean? But that was Yeshua ben Levi's whole point. That Tameh is Meguna, that's why we avoid it. So here we already come to a couple of variations. Under the rubric of the Baal Hamor's overall approach, that the Gemara's Teretz Ella is to point out that, as the Gemara already alluded to before, there are different levels of Lishna Malia, that we're differentiating that usually Tameh is not Meguna. Sometimes Tameh is Meguna. Three times Tameh is Meguna. But usually it's not. Usually it's the lack of Naki. And as such, Naki is a lower level, still valuable, but it takes a backseat to Katzer. How come? And then, of course, the question is, so what was unique? The three... Right. Well, why though over there, if we would have said Tameh... over there would be Meguna. One second. Rebbe Dov is going to talk about that. The Baal Hamor does not seem to. The Baal Hamor, Rebbe Yonah, in the Miri, I take that back. Right, the Baal Hamor and Yonah, the Miri, all talk about why is that Tameh in those three cases is a Meguna, but normally it's not. So the Baal Hamor says, Rebbe Dov says something along these lines. Okay, he has a different twist. But Baal Hamor himself says, well, it depends on Meguna depends on context. This is such an important insight. He said, if there's a tzorech, if I'm teaching you halachos, so that's not Meguna. Like we have a clinical discussion, all sorts of halachas, what to say with every aspect of life. So if we're having a halachic conversation, so that's a different. I'm teaching the halachas, what's time, what's star. So that's appropriate. But stam, if it's not in the context of teaching halacha, if it's not litzorech, so then it becomes then the word time becomes meguna. And he throws in, that's in terms of Noach. terms of the Noach pasuk, he said, for, by Noach it would have been Meguna because it was not for the tzorach of teaching.
Even though we're discounting parts of the Torah that don't teach exact Noach, the Alps, when we're teaching about Alps of Trefa and Sheretz also, those are such things that you see, but then parts of Noach, oh, just might also, parts of Noach doesn't matter.
So let's talk. He's not saying it doesn't matter. Right. He is saying that I'm not actually teaching you there what's tame and what's tar. So there's no need. And again, that's often going to be the case. There are all sorts of sensitive areas of halacha about dvarim shebein ish l'ishto. That when it's appropriate, we learn the dinim, right? You sit down to learn the dinim, so it's appropriate to be more explicit. But if you're not sitting down to learn the dinim, there's no need to be more explicit, so then it's inappropriate. In a clinical context, it is appropriate. In a non-clinical context, it's not appropriate. That's the way the Balmar seems to present it. Rabbein Yonah and the Meiri each have more sort of creative ways of understanding why it's not a question of tzorech, and maybe this will sit better with you, Akiva. Rabbi Yonah and Meiri both explain, no, in Noach specifically, the language is being used differently. So Rabbi Yonah is somewhat creative, Meiri is very creative. Rabbi Yonah, again, Rabbi David here tells you to look in Sharichu, the very end of Chela Gimel, Simen Oth Reish Chav Tes, leading to Oth Reish Laman. Rabbi Yonah says that it's fascinating. He says, and there's so much to be learned from each of these tables. Balmar taught us to be sensitive to, in a clinical context, it's appropriate to be more explicit as necessary, but if it's not, then it's not appropriate. Rabbi Yonah says, it's not right to put down food that you're allowed to eat. It's covered ochlin. That's what it sounds like. The Gemara also talks about covered ochlin physically, not to step on food. Rabbi Yonah sounds like talking about covered ochlin in your language. And Yonah says, Gevaldik. He says, when the Torah in Parsha Shemini tells you that pork is tameh, you don't want to eat it. So there's no issue of a lack of comfort for the food. It's food you're not allowed to eat anyways. He says, but by Noach, Kodama and Torah is all kosher. So to insult the food you're allowed to eat, that's not right. Interesting. It's an interesting idea. It's a little difficult because this sugya sounds broader than just an issue of Kavan Ochlan. The Meiri has a totally different approach. Meiri, it's Kedaitis, you gotta see this Meiri inside of us. Meiri on the sugya. Meiri says, it's a chiddush in parshanut. It's a chiddush in how you interpret the pesukah in Noach. The Meiri says that when Kadosh Baruch Hu told Noach certain animals used for karbanos and certain animals not be used for karbanos, and this flies certainly against certain midrashim, Meiri says, Tahar there doesn't mean those species which will ultimately be kosher la'achar matan Torah. He says, what's wrong with that? The Gemara just said. The Gemara said daf gimel beis. Talk about kosher and treif. That's not davar maguna. He says, alright, what's going on? What's going on by Noach? See, he actually relates Noach. He said Noach is the same line as the other two psukim where we avoid the word tamen. He says, what made a species tamei or tahar at the time of the Mabul? He says, look at context. And Chazal interpret that there was tremendous decadence, including sexual decadence, and not only among the Rashikots, it wasn't just among the people, it was even among the animals. Such a decadent society. Even the animals followed suit, if you can imagine such a thing. So the Meiri says, you know what tamei and tahar has to do with? It has to do with species that were tahar. We don't know necessarily, he says, that the cows were tahar and the pigs were tameh. He says tahar and tameh, the Meiri writes in Parshas Noach, has to do with this species totally nishmar from Revia, from Znus for Behemoth. Fascinating. He says those meanim that as a whole, the species as a whole was acted appropriately, they were called tahorim. And those where some members of the species had been inappropriate, had copulated with other species, so that species as a whole was labeled as tamei. Fascinating. So nothing to do, as I say, it's a chiddush in parshanut, it's a different read in how you understand tahar in parshas Noach. And then he says, I mean, that's taka maguna. to say that this species was involved in cross species copulations, that's taka davar maguna. That's not kosher treif. Nothing to do with it at all. So yeah, so Valkyrie, and we showed and point out, even in terms of Valkyrie, we're not talking about appropriate intimacy between husband and wife. The psukim that we're avoiding it are situations where it was inappropriate. It was a result of hirur. So, result of hirur, or certainly in the case of Noach, is very, very, very severe. Very, very severe genai. So, yeah, that's a davar maguna. So let's recap. Let's recap what we have. Nachamo. We looked at the sugya, and we were bothered by three things. We've solved two of them. Bechla, we were bothered sort of the bottom of Gimel and Aleph of Rabbi Shimon Levi, time of Rishma. It's hard to know what the flow is. Number two, Kasha Seif Larisha. If you tell me that Kava takes a backseat to Katza, so how you say Rishum and Levi, Ikim HaKatza. And number three was what's the pshat in Or? What was the teretz? So we saw in terms of the second Kasha, the Kasha Seif Larisha, two major approaches in Rishonim, and the second one certainly breaks down to some sub-flavors. There's the Rashi Tosis approach, and then there's the Balamar Udi'ine approach. Rashi and Tosis understood that there's Inochanami Lishna Ma'aliyah as a whole takes a backseat to Katzar, and the Rishum Levi case, those were exceptions to demonstrate, take a break in the rule a few times to demonstrate there is value to Lashon Hara. That was the Rashi Tosis approach. The Baal HaMara's approach was, no. What's going on here, the Ella, the movement of the Sugya is more subtle. The Ella is saying, Tameh isn't a Maguna, Tameh is a lower level. Those Tameh that were avoided in the Sugya of Rishum Levi, those were more Maguna. What's Maguna? You have to avoid all costs. And or at least in more situations, Lashon Naki said that already. It's valuable, but it takes a backseat to Katzar. By the way, Rabbi David presents it as maybe the Baal HaMara's approach as even Maguna. Sometimes you're gonna take the backseat to something, but it has to be something more significant than just Katzar. Maguna could take a backseat to making sure people actually understand what you're teaching them. Teaching them halacha, gotta make sure they understand the dinim. That's what he presents the Baal HaMara. So there could be an even higher level. Actual nivul peh, as a Reyona quotes from the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Lama Gimel, the Gemara in Ksubas Daf Ches, real nivul peh, that's horrific. The Gemara has terrible things, funny things to say that. Nivul peh, there's nothing to talk about. Maguna, okay, it's going to depend if it's either also you can never say, or you can say for the great sorrow of making sure the halacha you're teaching is clear. And then Lashanaki is also valuable, but that takes a backseat even to the relatively minor counter pressure, countervailing tzarech of Katzar. It'll be clear, but it'll be longer. You're allowed to be briefer even at the expense of Lashanaki. And we saw different approaches to why is it Tameh is sometimes Maguna, but usually not. And we saw specifically the approach of Ben Yona and the approach of the Meiri. And Mirt Hashem, tomorrow we'll close this out by talking about the third question. What talk of the Pshat? So this is very nice. Now we have an understanding of Lishna Malia, but how does Lishna Malia help with the first Kasha? But how did he done? So now we understand there's Lashanaki and there's Maguna and Nibopet, but Lyle doesn't seem to be any of them. Lyle is not Maguna, it's not even a lack of Lashanaki. The Baal HaMara is going to have an answer to that at the end, and the Ravid has a different answer, which also speaks to sort of understanding the flow of the Shakal of the Tariq. Our blessing will stop here. I'm glad to hang around for questions, and Bikias is going to begin in just a few minutes.
I didn't see the...